I'll never lose my grip.
I struggled hard to get what I got, fam.
No, I'll never lose my grip.
So I will not let it slip through my hands.
No, I won't ever lose my grip.
Excuses are something that I just cannot stand.
I'll never lose, I'll never lose, I'll never lose, I'll never lose, I'll never lose my...
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode 3 of The Real Raw Roper Show. I'm a little bit extra excited today. If you haven't noticed, that's because what you just heard is a song called Never Lose My Grip. It's by Mike Styles, Denny Hood, and Big Will. Three local Pittsburgh dudes. I love keeping it local. I'm super pumped. That's going to be the new intro for every single podcast from here on out. Shout out to those guys for letting me use the song. It's an originally written one that they made a while back, and it just so happened to fit the podcast. Couldn't be happier with it. So again, shout out to Mike Styles, Denny Hood, and Big Will. Little remix there for you to kind of transition back into the podcast. So on today's episode, we're going to cover a couple different topics. First being why I really like that song and why I really felt like it was right to be the intro. Second is going to be the transition of me letting go of organized sports through college and when I came home and really moving on from that idea. There's going to be a little story about how crazy my competitive nature is. And then the final one is going to be me transitioning all that crazy competitiveness into the workplace and being an adult. So to cover the first one, Never Lose My Grip is really just to me about never losing that grip on life, never letting go of that thing or things that really drive you or motivate you, or just if you're in a really dark place, just kind of let you hold on by that thread. And that could be a person, that could be a mindset, a goal, it could be a pet, it could be anything, anything to you that is important enough to keep you going. Just make sure you always keep that grip on it, because as soon as you start letting it go, it only takes a little bit for it really to slip away. So whatever that is in your life, always make sure you keep that in mind and just keep holding on to it no matter how bad things get. Just, you know, always realize it could be worse, and whatever that thing is so important that, you know, you just always need to make sure you hold on to it. So transitioning from there, we're going to go into me, ironically, letting go of my grip on sports. So I still love sports to the day. I do a lot of things revolving around sports. Nothing extremely competitive as they were in organized sports in college and high school. So that was a really hard decision for me. At that point of me letting go, football and, you know, wrestling are what defined me as a person. Like, everyone knew me as, oh, Mike plays football or Mike wrestles. And I've been doing those things. Well, wrestling newer, but I played football since I was 7 years old, you know. And prior to playing football, I was kind of the weird, awkward, shy kid that got bullied. So football brought me out of my shell big time to the incredibly ugly smartass that I am today. But, lost my train of thought. This is why you're saying, So, me letting go of football was a really, really hard decision. But coming home, you know, tearing my shoulder twice in 2 years, I've had, you know, I was in a straight leg brace for like 8 months for my knee. I've sprained both my ankles countless amount of times. I broke my foot. I did something with my collarbone, I think, sophomore year. It was like my clavicle, or I don't know, some medical term that I probably am not able to say. But that, all that being said, is within a 3-year span, I had major injuries start piling up. So the argument I made to myself is, you know, I want to be able to be extremely functional and in least amount of pain as I possibly can be when I'm older, you know, being 30, 40, 50, and so on. Especially when I start having kids, I want to be able to pick my son or daughter up and throw them up in the air. I want to be able to take them to the ballpark and, you know, I don't know how I'm going to do it at a ballpark because I can't play baseball or basketball, but I'll probably make them feel good because I'm going to suck. But those are things I want to be able to do. Like, I don't want to be not able to pick my hands up over my head when I'm 40 or get up off the couch without assistance. I want to be able to feel as good as I possibly can. So letting go of sports and knowing the toll it was taking on me just in that short time period, it was only going to get worse if I kept trying and trying and trying. So to me, that was more worth it. I'm not telling you what to do. If you absolutely love sports to death and it's the number one thing in your life, keep going. Or even if you step back a little bit from playing, be a coach. Or if you're in a position, be a sports analyst or start a podcast strictly on sports. I mean, it's if it's something that it drives you that much, don't let it go. But you have to understand, like, if you've had a couple major injuries, you have to change your perspective a little bit, especially if you're not like that 1% that's like, okay, you're going to the NFL or the NHL or the NBA or the MLB or the Olympics or anything. I mean, you could be good. I mean, you could be great and never really make it that far. So if you feel you're in that position, just kind of skip over this part. I'm not telling anyone to quit sports. I'm just kind of telling you how I did it in case you're going through something similar. To me, it wasn't worth it to keep going. Now, I still love sports to the day. That will never stop, but I have an understanding that, you know, it's kind of time to move past that. But transitioning into the story I wanted to tell, I came to Chartiers Valley my freshman year from Brookline, knowing absolutely nobody, and decided it was a great idea to go into wrestling, a sport where a bunch of dudes get strapped up in onesies and wrestle each other. So I knew absolutely nobody coming into a new sport that I've never participated in. I mean, I've done jiu-jitsu, which is similar but extremely different, and I knew absolutely nobody. So why I did it, I honestly couldn't tell you. I know my 8th grade science teacher kind of pushed us to go to Chartiers Valley to wrestle. His name was Mr. Vates. He knew the head wrestling coach, who is one of my dearest friends to the day, William Evans. Great guy. Beat the piss out of me all through high school. Really pushed my limits too. So shout out to him for making me a extremely strong individual. One of the main people that's helped do that throughout my life. But back to the story. There was this kid named Noah Wilps who looks like a jacked Brad Pitt. So you can understand coming into a brand new school with a brand new sport, walking into a room with a kid that's older than you, looking like a jacked Brad Pitt. It's not the easiest thing to go about. Worst part is that kid was like 10 pounds lighter than me. So he was automatically my wrestling partner. Now, he's been wrestling since like birth, I'm pretty sure, because his family just produces wrestlers. It's what they do. So all of my freshman year, I wrestled with this kid, and I got to watch him wrestle. We became pretty good friends, but at first, I was like, fuck this kid. He kind of beats the piss out of me every day. But the beauty of wrestling is that's what you're supposed to do. So he beat the crap out of me 365 days, every single day. I hated it. I don't know why I kept coming back to wrestling. Something was secretly developing a love within me. So he beat me up every day for a year. And going into sophomore year, something crazy happened where I decided, like, hey, I don't like getting the piss beat out of me, so let's stop doing that. Put in a little more practice, start going to different programs, was in the weight room a little more, start getting stronger, really understanding the wrestling game. Came back in sophomore year. If you're waiting for this to be a motivational part where I beat him up, it's not going to happen, but he beat me up a little less every single time. So I kept getting better. He was the person that actually drove me to get better in wrestling, because I knew he was, to my knowledge, the best wrestler I've ever had interaction with. So watching him all the time wrestling him in practice, he pushed me. And eventually, when I got good enough, I started pushing him, because I was a very goofy wrestler, not traditional at all. Everything I did, I was probably getting yelled at for, but somehow it worked out. But he pushed me all the way to junior year, where me and him were pretty competitive. We'd go back and forth a little bit. Most of the time, he's still going to win because he was just better than me. But there was a couple times where I caught him. But I wouldn't be the wrestler I am today without, one, my coach forcing me to get my ass beat every single day by him, and two, him beating me up every single day. So he really drove me to kind of be who I am, in a sense. And that's kind of why I don't like losing, but losing drives me to want to win more. So every time he beat me in practice, I wanted it that much more. So losing was kind of, I'm all about losing. I hate the whole idea of a participation trophy. I think it's soft. I think that's a big reason of kids not translating to real life well, because their whole life they get a freaking award for losing, basically, and a pat on the back and all that stuff. And that's great. You don't hurt your kid's feelings, but what happens whenever that kid is a grown man or woman, goes in the workforce, loses, and they get fired? And then they're like, well, what the hell? My whole life I was taught it's okay. And it is okay to lose. But when you lose, you have to try that much harder. You have to want it that much more. So another kind of wrestling story is my junior year of county wrestling. Counties is a pretty big tournament. It's on right before sections and Whippeals. Whippeals is what sends you to states. So it's kind of that barking order. So counties, I'm going in. I think I'm the 3 seed. I end up wrestling this kid in the finals. Up till then, I pinned my way all to finals. It was feeling pretty good. So I wrestled this kid that was hurt half the year. Pretty big kid. He wasn't seated as high, obviously, because he hasn't wrestled. I lose to him 2-1. 2-1, and I'm in a position in the third period where when you're on bottom, all you have to do is stand up and escape and you get a point. And I didn't do it. So that was probably the most devastating loss. Probably the second. My most devastating was my final wrestling match ever. But we'll get into that later. So I lose to this kid 2-1 in a just terrible way. I'm just laying there. I'm not getting up. It just wasn't good. So losing to him, I get a second place trophy, which I hate this trophy so much that I don't even put it up on my trophy case. I've used it as a doorstop. I've put it in the back or in a box. I've hid it. But I secretly love that trophy more than any other trophy I ever had, because from that moment, I was so unbelievably hungry to never lose again. And I didn't until the Whippeal tournament. So from that moment on, the rest of the season, I wrestled out, won every match, went into sections, which is the tournament that you wrestle to go into Whippeals for your seeding. I pinned my way to the finals, and then I wrestled this kid that's supposed to be some big hotshot, and I think I pinned him in late in the first or early in the second period, I don't remember, but I just smashed him. It wasn't even close. And all this was because of that loss. After that loss, I went to Pitt Wrestling Club more. I was staying a little later in practice. I was making myself uncomfortable in certain positions in practice to wrestle through them. I was in the weight room more. I was picking brains of wrestlers that I knew that were better than me. Everything about me just became insanely motivated and hungry that's all I wanted to do. So in my mind, losing sucks, but it's what you make of it. And every time I lose at something, I take as much in as I can of why I lost, and I do everything in my power to make sure that never happens again, because I hate the feeling of losing. But without loss, there would never really be that, almost like that high of victory. So stop giving your kids participation awards. Make them understand that they lost, and get them to make themselves want to be better. That's my rant. Moving on. That nature of me being a psychopath translates into the workforce and basically everything I've ever done. So when I was a busboy, I wanted to clean the tables the best and the fastest so we can get more people in the tables. Whenever I became a server, I wanted to be the best server there was in the place. I wanted to be able to take on the most tables without any issues. I wanted to be the best spoken. I wanted to sell the most. I wanted everything. I wanted to be the best. And I worked towards it. I don't know if I ever became the most sales or whatever, but I know that I was a respected server, and anytime there was an issue with something, you know, I could go handle it if I had to. And anytime there was big parties, they weren't afraid to put me on because I did well in that atmosphere. Then I became a bartender. And again, I wanted to be so overly trusted and good at my job that there was never any question. So now, being a furniture installer, which is so glorious, and I know it's a sexy job title, so everyone out there, relax, wipe your mouth. I know you're drooling. I'm in no way, shape, or form the best furniture installer. There's guys here that have been doing this for 20, 30 years. But every day I try to take in something. I try to get a little more responsibility. I try to learn something new, because it's not necessarily like, hey, I want to do this the rest of my life, but I could. And no matter how long I do it, I want to get better. I want to strive to be the best furniture installer. I want to strive to be the best anything. Anything you do is, I just want to be the best at it. I don't care what it is. My best friends in this world who I hold dearly, I'm extremely certain I would punch them in the face to win a race. I would. I would do it. You know who you are. If me and you raced, especially in front of people, I would punch you in the face in order to win the race. There's no way around it. Anything we would compete in, I would go 110% to make sure I won. And I'm not a cheater, but if you don't see it, it's not cheating, so screw it. That's how I am. So if you can take that extreme competitiveness, translate it into life, it gets pretty cool. So all that being said, I'm going to wrap up here. I hope you guys like the podcast so far. If you're listening, please like and share, comment, give me some feedback. I love hearing. I love learning. I'm trying to get better. My goal is to get to episode 50, and you listen to episode 50 and like episode 1 and 2 and be like, wow, it's not even the same person talking. So all the feedback you guys are giving me is really helping. So please keep doing it. Please liking. Please keep sharing. I want to get out there as much as possible. I want as much feedback as possible. And that's going to wrap up episode 3 of the Real Raw Roper Show. Thanks, guys.